Hello, hello everyone. Welcome to week 13 of Roleplay Swan Song. You guys get no intro because I've already rushed everything the past 5 minutes.
What week is it, JP?
13.
It's week 13.
Oh, shitty action.
What?
At time of tweet, I didn't know it, but getting the tweet out was more important than finding out what week it was to be included in the tweet. That was really hard to say. I just really, yeah, Wheat's like cut off. Jeff, you're centered, but Wheat looks good. Or, sorry, Wheat looks bad. You gotta like slouch. Get into like slouch mode.
What?
No fucking correct posture this week.
Where?
But sometimes when you talk too, we don't hear your mic.
At what point am I cut off here?
Right where it says Twitch, which is fine because there's no branding on the stream.
What are you talking?
Okay, you're fine. That's more or less better.
Yeah. There you go.
We tweeted a link to this week's show launching.
What?
No one tweeted a link.
Nobody tweeted that we're going live.
I just tweeted.
Yeah, and JP did. What are you talking about?
Yes, I'll have to follow you now on Twitter.
Jesus, this is the worst intro ever. were you not following because of all the tweets about the Seattle Seahawks?
We're not here to be professional. We're here to play role-playing games, everybody.
Exactly.
I follow everybody.
So I think one thing that we are learning here with this, both of them in sending a mixed signal to Skype, is that we can't talk while they're talking or they won't come through to us. So Steven and Adam, it's on us to not give or to not talk at all when Wheat or Jeff talk.
So on today's show, Higgs and Prosper go off on their own special adventure.
I don't know. I think it's because you're sending Skype is just like super confused sometimes, Wheat.
Oh. For Skype.
It's like one signal going.
Okay. So let's test it. Let's just fuck it. I don't care anymore. Let's right. test it. Just make. Oh. Give me a steady C. Check. Yep. The second we talk, you guys go down, and then any moment that we're not talking, you guys come back into the
that
mix.
That sounds like it's on your side, man.
No. It can't be.
We'll all just have to try to be non-interrupting human
because it, Steven and Adam, you're hearing that as well, right? It cuts out.
Yes. Yep, absolutely.
Boom, it's on your side, Wheat. Fuck your setup.
Set.
I can't hear you. We're talking. What'd you say?
Yeah, sorry. What? Wheat? I'm sorry. Did you
sense?
I know it. Doesn't. I know. It happens when with a couple other people on Skype as well.
Get me a piece of gum, a string, thumbtack,
a few grapes.
And a few grapes. I'll figure this out.
I don't know.
I'm glad that it quiets us, though. That way, there is an alpha in this relationship. You guys are like, and I'm done listening to Jeff. I'm just going to talk now.
At least all the important people can communicate.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. let's find out what everyone's put up to. Jeff, I think we start with you because everyone wanted me to give you shit for your team losing. I just want to know, you've been to many Seahawks games. How many have you been to a game where they've lost?
Yeah.
Okay. What was the emotional roller coaster that occurred in the final 2 minutes of the game for you?
The final 40 seconds.
It's so hard to communicate what it's like because we come out at halftime, we go up 10 almost immediately, and they look crisp. They score. They scored going into the half with 31 seconds. They just went right down the field and scored a touchdown. So everyone there was like, holy shit, they're going to do it. They're going to really put the Patriots down. But then they couldn't score for a couple of drives, and everyone kind of had the same collective feeling, which is that Tom Brady is actually some kind of super god, and 10 points is just not enough. It isn't. It's three passes, and it's 14 points as far as he's concerned. So we would get a good run or something like that, and my family would be celebrating, but I'm like, oh, God. Like, we need another score. This is not enough, and we never got it. Then they, sure enough, they drive right up. They put us down. We're losing by four. It's not even enough field goal to tie the game or put us ahead. And when Curse made that catch, that is just like stupid. And we're in the stands. My dad yells, "Did they intercept it?" Like, and that's like the back seat guy that you punch in the stomach. But I didn't. The whole place doesn't know what the fuck is going on. The camera people didn't know what was going on because it was just like a. He just fell down, and the football didn't seem to roll away, and then eventually it became a catch, and people were exclaiming. It was weird. It was like being in like a deep Southern Baptist church where like Jesus literally came out and just, yo, what's up? And everyone's like, hallelujah! And you're like, just weird things are being flung around and said. And I'll tell you, it's surreal to communicate that a feeling of they drive right up to the 1 yard line. Marshawn Lynch against the Broncos earlier in the season in overtime dives into the end zone to beat, you know, Peyton Manning and the Broncos. It was an iconic play. He's been the guy carrying us all season. So everyone's just kind of like congratulating and high-fiving, and they're waiting for it, because all you fucking do is you hand the ball to Marshawn Lynch and there's no seven people on earth that can stop him from getting a yard. Ironically, in the game, he did get stuffed on a third and one, but that's very rare. And it's 30 seconds to go. We have two timeouts. Like, everything was going our way. And they do this pass play, and it happens so quick. And we saw it bounce out of the guy's hands, and we just knew it happened. And then it got weird, too. And the only experience I've ever had that's like that is I went and saw, like, I've said this story before, but I saw Passion of the Christ in theaters. Whenever. If a movie like that ever comes out, don't it? Like, my mom's like, we need to see this. And I'm like, all right, I guess it's getting good reviews. Fucking weird movie to see with other people. Someone behind me was, like, crying, sobbing the entire time. And at one part, it's just like, oh, Jesus. And I'm just like, oh, I don't want to be here right now. That kind of stuff was happening at the Super Bowl. Like, when they were, like, people were, like, figuring out that this interception happened. Like, some guy three rows over and two guys back was like, fuck, fuck, like, unglued. And, like, my dad just, like, words just exploded from his throat. Just like, no! No! You know, like, this kind of just crazy shit. And I'm a deep fan. And I was like, you know, my hands were up, and I'm like, oh, God. But it was weird because it was like there's a calamity approaching. And I was worried because then there were some Patriot fans that were like, yeah, that's right. Seahawks suck. And yeah. Guys were looking back at him. And I was like, and I kind of, like, moved closer to Ann, and I was like, all right, if the fuck apocalypse happens right now, I'll break off his femur bone, stab this one, and then I'll slide down on that old lady's body down the stairs, and we'll get out pretty quick. But it was scary, and the worst part about that game is it's kind of, you know, I've had this moment a few times even in my own career in gaming and life, when you come that close to the biggest, like, the most life-changing event.
Yeah.
It gets snubbed away like that quick. The worst part is the hangover. The, like, couple of days where I'm like, oh, let's open up Facebook. I uploaded a picture of Barrison the other day. I want to check it out. And someone's like, six reasons why the Seahawks made the worst call in the history of... I'm like, let's close down Facebook. Go on Twitter. And someone's like, hey, Jeff, how about that fucking game? And I'm like, block me, son of a bitch. You know? It's really bad for me. So in a couple of days, I'll be completely fine. And I'm really happy and proud of the team. Like, Russell Wilson, every time he's interviewed, he's like, yo, that really sucked, and we're going to do everything we can to get back there and win that thing. And that's cool. A young quarterback that's so positive. So I'm happy.
What was the crowd reaction? I feel like I'm interviewing you on, like, ESPN. Yeah. What was the crowd reaction like when people...
crowd reaction like...
Well, it's like interviewing someone who went to a movie you didn't go to.
Exactly, exactly. What was the crowd reaction like when the players started fighting on like the final player right before the kneel? I feel like that would have been scary as shit.
It actually was scary. I should have thanked you for asking that. That's actually a cool story. When I was saying like the calamity was approaching, it was actually that made me kind of worried. Like the players just fucking blew up and started fighting. I guess one of the guys from Patriots punched Michael Bennett, and Bruce Irvin, the guy that got thrown out, just flipped his shit. But that was where it got scary, because there's actually like 30 seconds left in the game. There's still football to be played, but people were like coming out on the field. I think you guys saw it on TV, but Marshawn Lynch would just like teleported there. Like the fight broke out, and like Marshawn Lynch, the genie, just appears like, I heard a fight was happening. And it got a little bit worrisome, but then they like kind of broke it up and stuff. I was worried that they wouldn't end the game, that it would get so out of hand. They'd throw so many flags and throw people out that they're just like, I guess the Super Bowl's over, guys. Congratulations, Patriots, Seattle. What the fuck? You know, I was scared that kind of embarrassment would happen, but they sorted it out and took the ceremonial knee.
It was funny to watch. I'll just say that much. I'm sure it was shitty to watch as someone that was supporting the team.
Later, I'm going to look back and be like, I was at one of the best Super Bowls.
That's true. It was a good Super Bowl. Like, and those are, to be honest, the past couple of years have been kind of rare. So,
it's not even the past couple of years. Super Bowls are typically really shitty games. One team shows up, the other one tries, and then once they get behind a couple of scores, they start throwing deep passes, and they all get picked off. Pretty enough at halftime, but
yeah.
The Katy Perry show, by the way.
Oh my God! Did you have binoculars? Like, how far up? Where were you sitting? Let's start with that.
I was at 400. That's pretty far. I wore my glasses so I could see halfway there. That was fucking crazy. It was weird. She came in on like a gigantic tiger, which you guys all saw. And she's strapped in really funny too.
Like, it was like the White Ranger from Power Rangers.
Yeah, the shit she did, like, you should be strapped in, but she was like hilariously stiff strapped in. She's like, I'm going to put my leg up now, and my back doesn't quite move, but I'm here to celebrate the Super Bowl. But there's just like an army of people with balls and shit everywhere. The Sharks got all the love on that, but really the most underrated thing there was the beach balls that fucking sang the chorus with her. Their mouths fucking moved, guys. Those are moving mouths. People didn't talk about that shit.
No, that's
I was the technology.
It was the Super Bowl.
They literally teleported.
So did the shark mouths, right?
Yeah, but the shark mouths moved. Yeah.
Go back and you watch it, which inevitably there's what, like 10,000 million mirrors of it. If you watch when the shark mouths move, suddenly their left arm becomes paralyzed and they can dance with it. They like, you know, you gotta imagine that they're doing one of these.
Arm
and
goes
like
up there.
They didn't, the fucking costume engineer didn't think that far ahead to what the fuck is gonna happen with the left arm. We have them
really
the
poor
mouth,
planning
so.
On the Sharks. They
it
done
was only the
that.
Chorus, at least.
Yeah.
But Missy Elliott just fucking stomping out of the mid-90s into the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, that was so random.
I love the Super Bowl because it was like 3 hours of, well, it was like 4 hours of me just shitting on everything that happened on TV. And it was so much fun to do because everyone else was into it. The commercials, you missed some of the fucking funniest commercials, Jeff, of all time.
Wait, I heard the funny? State Farm one. That doesn't make sense at all.
No. It was Nationwide, not State Farm.
M. Night Shyamalan does.
Dude, they were hilarious because of how like abrupt they were, Wheat. And I don't, maybe it's just because I'm a fucked up person, but the one where the kid's like talking about all this stuff that he's gonna do, then he's like, "It's because I'm dead." It's just no one says anything after that.
All of the memes that come from that are just really.
It's all fucking hilarious. It's all fucking hilarious.
It was. There was this weird like. You know, last year they did the farmers one. Mm-hmm. You guys remember that? Like the farmers. And then somehow it was like Buick. You know, like how you got there, I don't know. But they're like, let's just go that way. And it was like the most I want to know the statistics of how many people killed themselves during the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I think it actually would be higher than an average day.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, the last 40 seconds alone would just nonstop deaths.
I didn't mean it like that.
No.
I meant the commercials, JP. You're the one being the asshole. Mm-mm. Already Higgs.
You're the asshole next to Jeff, and I'm just riling him up.
Russell and the Jimmies.
Great. Russell and Jimmies. There you go. Adam, we talked to you swan song, so we're not going to talk to you at all. Sports ball, you know how it goes. Welcome back.
Hey.
Yeah. Steven, anything new with you?
Nah, man. We got some West Marches cooking up this Saturday. That's going to be fun.
I like your beard. You're doing good with your beard, man.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I got to fill in this little patch up here. And then I need to sculpt it a little more because right now it's a little raggy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we get it nice and close, you can see how jaggy all the edges are and stuff. Yep. No good.
And that's like PS1 style right there.
Yeah, I'm not going for the Adam beard.
Upgrade. Yeah.
Not
Adam's
not to...
got this 16-bit Jeez. Thing. Come on, dude.
That's all that's going on with me, JP.
I do also want to. It's a good time to announce. I'm going to be starting my own show Saturday. It's the East Parade. Actually, it's a new D&D show coming under. Yeah,
the East Parade.
I get it.
Meets the Midwest Marches.
Cool. I'm going to be on both of them at the same time.
An influence. So it's.
Can I play, Jeff? Can I play and like ruin your entire show?
Gosh,
I'll be like, Jeff. I want to kill this guy. And then I'm going to take a shit in his pants. I put his pants down, and I take a shit in them, Jeff.
Is it a question of me? Am I that guy?
I think you're Cartman now.
Yeah, I think he thinks you're Cartman.
Yeah.
I drink his tears, Jeff. I lick them from his face. They're so tasty.
I am not aware of this criticism.
If that was a little bit higher pitch, that would be like the perfect Cartman. You've got like the slight lisp. It seems to be a little bit higher pitch. You could do it. You could do it. We've talked to you way too much because of mirror shades in the past couple weeks, but
I actually had something to say.
I know. I said, but regrettably, what's up? How's it going?
Regrettably, what's up?
I just wanted to give a shit. Okay. Other than
got him.
other than like, what is this abomination that I'm looking at on your channel?
What?
Like, it's already bad enough that people come in and they're like, what's the shit these nerds are doing? But like,
the new name of the show is 1.5 Jeffs.
Like, yeah, what is, that's it.
There is 2.5.
There
man.
Is.
I love yeah. it.
Look, there was nothing I could do. I was stressed for time. And
fine,
also,
Jake, don't get pressured out of this.
It's like a 4x3 image. And what I was given here, because you didn't space out the camera appropriately, is like a 2x4 image, and that's not going to fit in the right space unless it's just yeah. your head.
I don't know. Like, my memory's not too good. I'm old, but I remember this moment, like right before the show, where I was like, "All right, I can zoom. You know, I can adjust the camera."
I was already too far ahead.
Did
and I then, was too far ahead.
Did you hear like "Beat, go fuck yourself" in your head?
A little bit of
that.
Yeah.
I wondered. Yeah.
Okay. I can confirm that. All I'm young, so I know that. Yeah. No.
I was already halfway through the.
Fuck, man, we're in space anyway, dude. Crazy shit. In space, like we're in a portal right now, like fucking webcam Skype show portal.
Exactly.
We get a quick shout out, by the way, to Bill Paxton. If you guys haven't watched the movie Frailty, you need to go watch.
It's really good. Yeah, super good. I just saw on the weekend, I saw Aliens on the big screen for the first time. I've seen...
Ooh, that's weird. First time. What do you say?
I've seen Aliens before. I've seen Aliens loads of times, but I saw it on the big screen for the first time, and it was so good. And Bill Paxton, his wife, was so good.
Game over, man.
Did you know he's the only one that's in... I saw this on Reddit. The only one that's in, like, Aliens, Predator, and something else?
Terminator. Yeah, he just needs to get killed by RoboCop, and he's got the whole quad set up.
I mean, RoboCop's having it. They're going to do another movie, I'm pretty sure.
He's in Predator. Predator 2, I guess, right?
Yeah, he's in Predator 2.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Wheat's out. He's fucking... He's gone.
You'll see him over there.
Yeah. I'll have to look at Frailty. I've never heard of this before.
No. Oh, you haven't seen it? You will like it.
Oh, it came out in 2001? This is old as shit.
Don't look much into it. Like, a lot of what makes it so good is that you don't understand what's happening as you watch it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I just... Okay. We'll just stop there. What are we doing here again?
Swan song. Talking about the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I'm just going to name the Photonhauer spaceship Super Bowl. You're sucked up into the Super Bowl, everybody. Yeah. So, Jeff, you went into internet coma at the end of the last session, so you probably missed what happened, but I will review. So, after, at the behest of the Madari Syndicate, retrieving secret crate KX001-M from the Andoni dig site, maybe mysteriously easily... I mean, not to downplay your skulking and your you know ability to do these things, but you did get away with it quite easily. Back to the Madari base, loaded up on the Swan Song. There was some debate as to whether it was going to be on the Swan Song or not. Connor was very confused. I think because some people think it's a bomb because it's being handled very carefully and there's some like not allowing radio signals into the box. But in the end, you decided to load it up and head off to the meeting site. When you got there, you got a message from a ship with the right security codes to connect you. And then the last thing that we saw was you guys being tractor beamed up into the docking bay of this like massive black battleship.
Unexpectedly?
I don't know that it was unexpected. They were just like, yeah, we'll bring you aboard to offload the cargo. It wasn't like aggressive. They didn't like, you know, just grab. There was a conversation first.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're all on the bridge where you normally are, Mr. Sikarian. You can see the sensors readout of the ship that's pulling you up. You recognize it like right away. There's no question. It's a Photonhauer battleship. Though you'd have to take a better look at the data to figure out if you know anything about the specific ship. If you want to do that as you're being pulled up, you got about 30 seconds before you guys are inside the hold of the ship.
Yeah, I do what I can to pull up the specifics on it, I guess. I don't say anything to them, but I just kind of start typing in what I need to figure out if I know the ship.
Okay, so you just go up and take a look. Okay, the ship is, like I said, it's a battleship. It's called the Harridan's Heart. And can you roll an intelligence check for me?
So, is Piani doing all of Sakarian's roles?
It's working. Yeah, it'll be Piani, but yeah, we'll just delineate.
Do you want me to just...
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
What is your intelligence check?
Plus or minus nothing.
2d6 plus 0?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So on an 8. You recognize the name, the Harridan's Heart. It's captained by, or the last time you remember hearing about it, was it's captained by Mr. Ossuary, who's like, based on your memory of his reputation, he's a little bit of a weirdo. He tends to prefer missions in like far sectors. So, you know, there'll be like a big civil war going on and most of the ships will go there, and he's gonna be like, I'm gonna go check out this like minor conflict out at the edge of the system. He spends a lot of time on the frontiers. And he has like a background in astrogation. So he's his own navigator basically for the ship.
So as I pull up this information and I know these things, I kind of pull back from the keyboard and I look at the crew and just say, it is paramount that for the duration of our stay on this ship that you refer to the cook, or whatever other name you want to come up with, let's leave Mr. Sakarian out of this until I deem it necessary. And full disclosure, these are people that I have a deep and very important past with that is coming to light as something related to what I've already told you. But this is not... I do not believe Mr. Titan is here.
Yeah, Wheat, don't blow his cover, Wheat.
Talking about...
Okay, does anybody want to do anything else before you're in the hold?
Who all's it? So it's us four, Wu and Piani, right? Or Pi, rather. That's all that's on the ship, Adam?
Yeah, I mean, it's the regular crew plus Connor.
Okay. No, I don't think we do anything.
Okay. All right.
I would not go off to my room and put on my...
I just want to remind myself of something that happened last time.
Yes.
Like, when we brought the box on board the ship, Pi reached out to it.
Yeah, I mean, Pi like was aware of it and like it's and said like it's dark. It's like right. The dark place.
And Pi sort of went dark for a couple minutes and then
yeah, Pi had a minor minor power spike or a glitch or something and then was like, no, everything's fine.
Yep.
Nothing to worry about here.
So, cool. Just wanted to refresh that for myself.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm in my room, by the way, putting on the assault armor, I'm going to open up... I'm guessing the room itself has kind of a comm.
Yeah, there'd be a panel next to the door where you can access the comms in the ship.
So I kind of, again, I go into my extremely demure spotless room. Hit the comm for Pi.
Okay. Sure. Yeah, the channel opens.
I say, Pi, remember our talk about the people in our lives and the impact they have, right?
I remember.
I say, just please keep in mind that the people on this ship are your people, and we are in need of protection from someone powerful like yourself. There may come a time where you'll need to act, and I just want you to keep those thoughts in your collective minds.
I think I understand.
That's all I ask.
Okay. So anyone who's still on the bridge, you see the Fotenhauer ship, you see the Harridan's Heart hanging over you like a shale spike that just blocks out the starfield around it. It must have some kind of like visual like stealth coating or something because you can't even see the like angles of the ship. It's just like a big triangle of black space. You're pulled up towards it and you can see the doors, the bay doors opening. They slide open and light is emerging from it as you're pulled up into it. Inside the docking bay, like, it's quite large. Like, it's as big as, like, a plane hangar, basically. And you can see several, like, an array of several, what look like fighters, like, single-pilot craft, lined up on, like, launchers, basically. Like, there's, like, a long rack, and they've got a big hook underneath them that flings them out of the ship. And they're made out of the same material as the ship. They're kind of like, you look at them, and it's more like they're, they absorb light rather than blocking it. You can also see several large crates, a few racks that seem to have like missiles loaded on them, and a number of sort of crab-like robots. They're maybe the size of like a VW bus. There's like three or four of them. They've got six lower legs and two like manipulator arms, and they're picking up these missile racks and they're like loading them into some of the fighters. And there's lots of like hustle and bustle going on the deck, various like deck officers organizing stuff around. And you can see that there's, I guess, Prosper, you're running the ship. There's a guy with two like lit sticks, like waving you into a, like a docking area.
Is it, I mean, like, is the ship still mostly under my control? Like this beam was just sort of a guiding tractor?
Yeah, I mean, you can land the ship, or you could just go on autopilot and the ship will just land itself. It's getting fed information from the battleship. Yeah.
I just take off my hands, put them behind my head.
Okay.
Speaking at him, like, would a fighter jet or even, like, Arcus be able to be flown by a computer? Do we think that that's a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, outside of, like, every ship has autopilot to some degree for landing and takeoff for long-term flight, but any kind of, like, combat maneuver or, like, evasive maneuvers, those have to be dealt with by, like, a person on the ship. Though, like, an AI running the ship, that's maybe a different story. It would depend on how it was programmed and if it had ever done it before.
With that being said, then as we're kind of getting pulled in, I would look over. I mean, I guess I rejoin them.
Okay.
Say money. Kind of keep in mind. Perhaps alert Pi to the possibility of utilizing some of the equipment we see here.
Who are you addressing, Mr. Sicarian?
Piani, but Piani is fixing the set.
Ah, excellent.
Okay.
Fucking nothing!
You hear that?
No, what did he say?
She gives me fucking nothing, but she winked, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so you get a message from the control tower, basically the landing tower, for the ship, and it's just like the same person you were talking to before, and they're like, we have you docking in Sector 7. You can see the running lights there, or we can run the autopilot for you. Once you've landed, Ms. Mesa and her team will meet you there. So, just hang tight.
Merci. We will use the auto docking program. Thank you.
Okay. Not to be confused with the auto dock. That's a whole other piece of mechanics. All right. So you guys just hang out on the ship, and it lands in the docking area. You can feel the like shudder as the ship gets held by the like docking clamps, so it doesn't float away if you do a sudden maneuver. After I don't know, 30 seconds or so, there's essentially the doorbell goes off. There's a pinging sound, and someone is requesting access to the ship.
Do we have like comms or anything, or not comms? Sorry, like video feed of whoever is doing it.
Yeah, I think there's like a door cam, whatever you can pull up.
Yeah, I guess I'd pull that up or ask Pi to.
Okay, yeah, it comes up on one of the tertiary screens, and you get a like a CCTV display of it. You can see there's a woman in a like a uniform of some kind, like a naval uniform, holding a data slate, and there's about like a half dozen guys in like jumpsuits, like black jumpsuits, deck officers and crew.
Is she staring at the camera?
Yeah.
Do I have audio out to speak to her?
Sure.
Okay. I guess I phone in. I'm just like, hello, ma'am. This is Wilbur Higgins III. I'm the captain of this ship. May I ask what you need to come on board for? I figured we'd just drop this thing off and be on our way.
So she kind of like looks around and then like looks back up at the camera, and she says, well, hello, Mr. Higgins, captain. My crew would like to offload the cargo, run a few diagnostics. Once we can confirm that we have what we want, then we'll make sure you get paid and you can be on your way. Besides, I think the captain would like to speak to you.
Okay, well, how long is this all gonna... You see, we're on a very tight schedule here. We gotta hop on over to I just like look at the galactic map and pull a random name. we gotta hop on over to Sector 202 over to Pilar.
She says, "Well, in time being what it is, yes, we'll work as quickly as we can. But we're on our way in that direction, and no offense, but we've scanned your ship, and our spike drive is much better than yours. We could drop you off along the way."
Wait, we can ride in your ship while you...
Yes, absolutely. Would you mind if we come on board? I'd like to have this conversation face-to-face. I feel like I'm talking to a vending machine. Pi makes a frowny face on the screen when she says that.
Does she see that, or just so
to me? No, just on your screen.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Go ahead. I let them in. Also, tell Wheat that we can hear ourselves now through y'all's headset, Jeff. Or we could.
Hear themselves.
Seems better now.
Yeah, I think now. It's gone. Anyways, we let them in.
Okay, do you meet them in the cargo area, or do you just let Connor be the first person that meets them?
No, I go down there and meet them. I guess when I let them in, I go.
Okay. I can get them before. Okay. All right. So, the docking bay, like, ramp lowers. The only thing you guys have in the cargo hold right now is KX-001M, right? There's nothing else there? Okay. All right. So, Miss Mesa and her team all come up the ramp. The team starts, like getting a anti-grav sled in place. And she seems very interested in the crate. Like, she's looking at it and kind of, like, looking at her data slate and nodding and kind of, like, speaking to the team in German. So Miss Mesa, now that you can see her outside of the like grainy black and white, she's probably in her 30s. She carries herself very authoritatively. She has a bunch of like not medals, but like rank insignia that nobody but Sicarian would recognize, I think. Sicarian, she's the XO of the ship, but she also has like ranking science officer like indicators on her uniform.
That's the white bald guy from Battlestar Galactica, just so everyone else can identify.
Yeah, Colonel Ty. The XO on a ship is when the captain says do something, the XO is the one that gets it done.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, would Prosper know enough of Maltech to know whether or not there would be some kind of traceable influence on the container from Pi's exposure to it?
Hmm. Be more specific. What are you looking for?
Well, like, as soon as she's like, oh, we just want to check it and make sure it's normal and hasn't been tampered with or whatever, like, Prosper might say, oh, is there any sort of, would Pi have left traces behind that would warn them that we have Pi on our ship?
No, probably not.
Okay.
I mean, unless the crate has, like, call logging or whatever built into it. Yeah. But even then, it would just say, like, Swan Song Computer System, not necessarily, like, Pi.
Pizza Party Pi.
Yeah.
Requesting access as independent AI. Yeah.
The old AI to AI handshake. So they start loading it onto the sled, and So she doesn't know which one of you is Higgins, so she kind of, like, looks at you. She looks up from the crate and notices there's other people in the room and, like, looks at you as a group.
I'm standing behind Higgins with my arms clasped behind my back in my jet black assault armor.
She can't see your face.
Are we all like? I imagine that we're all standing there in a line, just looking cool.
Yeah, I think the sense in the room is that kind of awkwardness where you don't know her and she doesn't know you, and it's like you met someone on Craigslist to sell them your old TV, and they're like, yeah, but I just gotta check and see if it works. Like, I trust you, but I'm gonna plug it in and just, like, we gotta make sure. So there's a little, like, tension where she wants to get it over with, but she's, like, looking for the person she talked to. She has something to say but doesn't know who to address.
As I see her, like, looking around, my visor kind of just slightly tilts to Mr. Higgins and just...
Right.
I'm like... I'm not directly behind him. I'm a, you know, like a bodyguard to the right. So
yeah.
I just kind of look at him.
Okay. So she follows your gaze and looks at Higgs and is like, Captain Higgins.
Yes? What?
She takes a step forward and puts her hand out. She's like, I'm Miss Mesa.
Well, hello. I shake her hand now.
Okay. She shakes her hand. She's got a firm handshake. She says, I understand this must be a hassle for you. You have lots of, and she looks at the ship and kind of looks around. Business to attend to, but
we got business for days, woman. Let's go.
But yes, we just have to get it down to science deck take a quick look at what's inside, and we'll make sure you get your money and are on your way. Okay. In the meantime, and she turns and gestures to the ramp. She's like, "You're all guests of the Herodin's Heart, so if you'd like to eat, we have full gymnasium facilities. Anything you'd like, you're welcome as guests. Of course, we'll have to chaperone you, but feel free to take advantage of the ship."
I kind of
being chaperone.
So she turns and looks at you. What did you say?
So what did you mean, chaperone?
Well, this is a military vessel. I can't have civilians wandering around. She shrugs. No offense. It just, we would have to have someone with you if you want to go from place to place. That's all.
So you're saying you're giving me a bodyguard?
There's no danger to you here. I assure you, a bodyguard is unnecessary. And when she says that, she kind of like looks at Mr. Sicarian like, I mean, no offense. You could power down, robot.
Well, Pion, why do you need to get off the plane, Pion? We got everything we need here on board. Ma'am, we're going to be just fine. We'll stay on. We don't need to come on board to get a tan, all right? We're going to be just fine.
A tan would be nice.
Prosper, shut the fuck up.
So, yeah,
I just thought it would be pleasant to fraternize with our allies.
She's awkwardly not saying anything, like, just letting you have your crew She kind of, like, does that thing where she can obviously still hear you, but is making all of the, like, body language that's like, I'm not listening to your conversation. You just talk about it. I'll be over here looking at my fingernails.
Ma'am, we'll be just fine. Just let me know. You said the captain wanted to talk to me or something. Is that still a thing?
She nods. Yes. Mr. Ossuary would like to invite you for... And she, like, looks at her watch. I suppose it would be lunch. It's in an hour.
And what's his name again? Captain what?
Mr. Ossuary. And she kind of like quirks an eye. She's like, I know, it's strange, but we don't choose the names we're given.
Does he have a nickname?
She shakes her head like it's like you wouldn't dare call him anything else.
Well, I can't pronounce that on a...
Mr. Sicarian, you understand the subtext behind this? Like, it would be super insulting to call him anything else, but... The rest of the crew might not pick that up.
Yeah.
Ma'am, that I can't even remember this person's name, and I'm pointing to Prosper on a daily basis. How can I just call him Captain Oss or Awesome or no nicknames at all?
She shakes her head. She says, I'm sorry, we have a protocol. You can call him Sir if you prefer.
Okay, I'll just be polite with the sirs. Yeah, that sounds good. We'll meet him for lunch. I assume the rest of the crew is going to want to follow me and meet him too, so.
She says, I've uploaded ship schematics into your computer for you. Your VI was very helpful. If you wish to come to lunch, she checks her watch again. If you wish to come to lunch, then please, by all means, check the map. I've highlighted his cabin on that for you. And then you hear like a clattering sound or something. And she turns around and she like swears at one of the guys in German, and they like apologize to her. They've like bumped the thing as they're like getting it off the cargo dock.
I guess when I see it like bump or whatever, I kind of like, it's as if like someone's about to swing at me. It's like that type of reaction where I just flinch and I kind of like move back as it bumps.
Okay.
But if she looks back at me, I try to act normal and look cool.
Okay.
So I go back into like the steady swagger. Okay. Is that it? You need anything else? I think we'll be okay finding our way there. Who's going to be escorting us?
So she turns to a soldier who has come up the ramp as you were talking, and she says she kind of like looks at you for a second and looks at him and then takes a breath and she's like, well, if you were having trouble with Mr. Ossuary, this isn't going to be any easier for you. This is 616-281-466B. And he kind of like rolls his eyes, and she's like, he'll be your escort if you need anything. He'll be just outside the ship.
All right, nice to meet you, sir. You okay, we'll be out there soon. We got to get our I got to go get my nice shirt on. This is not the nice shirt. I dress much nicer than this on a daily basis.
She sometimes. Says, I'm sure. I'm sure. If you need anything from me personally, just get in touch with Science Deck. They'll pass you along. Okay. She, like, looks at everybody and kind of gives a nod, and she's like, I'll get in touch with you as soon as we've confirmed.
Sounds good. And let me know.
Turns on her heel and heads out after her crew.
Okay. After she leaves, I kind of, and they're out of earshot, I lean in on Mr. Higgins and say, Mr. Osweiser?
Ossuary.
Ossuary.
Yeah, it's a... Well, your characters wouldn't know this, so whatever. It's a weird-sounding word.
Yeah. I say, Mr. Ossuary is a part of the military group that I was a part of, and the Mr. denotes top brass. They're the highest-ranking people. So he is close to Mr. Titan and the others.
Okay. All right, Cook. I understand. Do you have a first name? Can I just tell him that your name is Jose Cook?
Maybe. That works just fine. He like, struggles to... The humor of the moment completely just puts him off, but he's like, yes, Jose is fine.
Okay, Jose.
And I was going to suggest Mr. Cook, but...
Captain Cook?
No, Jose is... I had a dog named Jose once. He was...
As this conversation breaks out, he turns on his heel and just walks back from the ship.
Right, like in exactly the same way that she just left. Yeah. Strict military turn in a way.
As the Frenchman and Mr. Higgins start to kind of go back and forth, he's like, yeah, all right.
Yeah. I start to explain a little bit about the dog, and like halfway through, I stop and I kind of like turn. I'm just like, woo, woo, where are you at?
So you're just shouting in the room?
Yeah, I'm just shouting for woo.
Okay. All right, so you hear from, like, down a hall, you hear, like, what? I don't live in the cargo hold, asshole.
I don't know where you... Did we give you a room, Wu?
So you see, you look down the hall, he, like, pokes his head out. He's like, yeah, I have a room. I took this one.
Oh.
Is it Higgs?
No. I've slept on the ship before. It's just one of the empty rooms, because you guys have that two extras.
Gotcha. Oh, I just wanted to make sure you're still alive and on board. Thank you. Thank you for checking in, Wu.
He gives you a salute.
We're going to go say hi to the captain of the ship that we're in right now. And the ship's going to be yours for a little bit. You okay with that?
Yeah, okay.
All right, don't drive off. I got the keys, and just be careful.
Okay.
All right, I go to my quarters and like put on my tuxedo shirt.
To okay. Kill me. Come out with a show called "Fucking with Everybody Else." It's gonna run just after your guys' show, where exactly. JP sits in a room by himself and talks to NPCs.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so yeah, what's everybody gonna do? Do you want to do anything to prepare? Like Higgs, you're gonna go get dressed. I assume everybody's gonna change into whatever maybe you have. It's not terrible.
Given the meeting, yeah, he probably gets out of his assault armor and is just going to wear, like, the body glove underneath. And he still has the, that military, the armor that we've been using that goes under clothes and shit like that. So he just puts that on.
Armored undersuit or woven?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
One of those two? Okay.
Monoblade and, probably not the cannon. Probably, one of the pistols he has confiscated.
Sure. Okay. Piani, what about you?
I mean, I... Like the rest, I just make sure I'm presentable at least.
Okay. All right, yeah, Prosper. Is it unreasonable to assume you're more prepared than the rest of the crew for like a fancy lunch with the captain?
No, it is not. No. It is it is more reasonable. Yeah. It's not unreasonable to assume that I am more prepared for this. So, yeah, you know, I guess probably as everybody's walking away, I turn to Monsieur Six de Quatre Six Huit Bay.
What?
And I say,
you just said the guy's serial number in French.
Monsieur Bay. the meeting with the captain, Monsieur Ossuary, is this likely to be a formal affair?
So he responds in French to you and is like, oh, are you from Cabral?
Shit, is that where I'm from?
Yeah, it is. It's Planet France.
Mais Planet oui, France. Je viens de Cabral. Et vous aussi, oui. C'est très bien.
He says in French, he says, we don't talk about where we're from. I was just curious. Then he switches to English and he says, the serial number is a bit of a mouthful. If there aren't any officers around, you can call me Buckshot.
Ooh, nice.
Buckshot! It's a good name! Does it represent something about yourself, perhaps?
He didn't notice it before, but you see the grip of a shotgun sticking up from behind him. And he just pats it. He's like, close encounters.
Does she have a name?
He shakes his head. It's a shotgun, sir.
Very well. I don't name my rifle either. I let her do the talking.
He kind of quirks an eyebrow at you.
Mr. Buckshot, you did not answer my question.
So he stops you before you finish the sentence. He's like, just a buckshot.
Buckshot, you did not answer my question. Formal attire?
Oh, yes. The captain's a bit of an eccentric. If you dress up, he'll appreciate it.
Ah, that is very good to know. Thank you, thank you, Buckshot. Man.
You get the impression that he regrets telling you that, and that he's like, shit, this guy's gonna get me in trouble. But that's out of bag now. So
I should put on my best peacock outfit. Yes.
Show up in the poopy crop.
I did bring my tails.
High-heeled shoes with the buckles.
Yeah. Powdered. Oh, no, that picture of me with like. The cravat, and like I have like a black mole painted on my cheek, like, and like white face paint.
Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So unless anybody else has pre-lunch stuff to do, we can probably break here, and then we'll start it at the lunch for the next bit.
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. Let's do that.
I gotta know before we break. Wheat, was it an aux channel that you had up or something?
No, dude. It's really, let's just say that maybe unqualified people are using a mixer that you really need to be qualified to use.
Gotcha. Because the only reason I would know is because this happens with other people on other shows, and I would love to be able to fix it on their end.
It's totally different, separated issues. Gotcha. Sorry. I wish I had a better answer, but that's it.
No problem. All right. We understand. Thank you. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more Swan Song right after this. We'll see you guys in just a bit.